Thank you, Mr. Galán. The following financial professionals have raised the following questions. First, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Gonzalo Sánchez Bordona, UBS, Ahmed Farfán, Jefferies, Arturo Murúa, Jefferies, Pedro Alves, CaixaBank, Pablo Cuadrado, JB Capital Markets, Fernando García, RBC, James Brandt, Deutsche Bank, Jorge Alonso, Bernstein Societe Generale, Philippe Orpatian, Odo BHF, Dominic Nash, Barclays, Meike Becker, HSBC, Peter Vistiga, Bank of America, Pierre Ramon Denk, Alpha Value, and finally, Sky London, Rothschild. The first question is, can you expand on the main elements driving the increase in net profit?
In net profit, 26 will be another year of growth. I think there are several reasons for, I said 26 will be another year of clearly growth. The first one is due to the consolidation of electricity in Northwest and Energia. As you know, we are already in Energia. We expect in the next few weeks we will have the control, the 100% of the company. The positive acquisition, these minorities, what I mentioned. New distribution frameworks, what we are now, the case of UK, which is the T3, Rio T3 from April. New interconnections between Canada and Massachusetts, which I mentioned it was 125 million EBITDA contribution per annum. The Brazil, the finalization of the transmission project, which can act, as I mentioned before, 250 million additional EBITDA. As well, the contribution of the 2,700 megawatt installed power in 2025, and the partial contribution of these 4.7 gigawatts, which now under construction and will be completed during the year. The other one important point, I think we are beating this year the record of hydro reserve in the history of the group. So I can say in this moment all our dams are 100% almost full. So I think we are on the 95, which is the reserve margin we have to keep already just to for security reason. So that that is already provide more than 9,000 gigawatts of stored energy which will be used in due time. And that can be completed with our capacity of pumping storage, which I mentioned is another potential, almost 10,000 gigawatt hours per annum that we can as well potentially produce with it. Financial expenses, as I mentioned, it was mentioned by Pepe Sainz, is full under control, is a lower debt, and our interest rates are mainly fixed or a hedge. So that's why I think we are confident that to reach more than 6.6 billion euros net profit this year. That represent practically, I think when we present last year our plan, it was a plan to increase by 2 billion in 3 years. So I think between 24 and 28. So I think with that one, we can already secure that half of the term, this 1 billion is already been already increased already. That's why I think we are comfortable that another billion from 27-28 as well can be easily be achieved. Traditionally, always, as I mentioned before, we are over-delivering our promises, so which I think you see that we, when we made that one, is we are normally comfortable that we can already achieve these numbers. And relating net debt, I don't know, Pepe, you would like to say something. We are very, very happy with our cash flow generation, which continue increasing. And but I think you mentioned, Pepe, with more detail.
Well, in the net debt, we are expecting to end 26 or somewhere between 54 and 55 billion euros, which is below what we have in our plan. And this is basically because we have, as you know, finished this year with lower debt than what we had expected, so lower 1.5 billion euros at 50.2. This means that we are going to increase a little bit the debt amount as we continue to invest, but below what we had in our in our plan and that we had in our Capital Markets Day. So, as the chairman has said, the debt under control and the financial expenses also.
Next question is related to the non-recurring impacts that are affecting the 2025 EBITDA and net profit.
So, Pepe, lo contesta.
Yeah, well, as you know, well, this year we had a capital gain mainly due to the sale of the smart meters in the U.K. This is something that we have adjusted. We have taken away another 460 million to more than compensate this 379. This 464 is below the EBITDA, but so we are stripping 379 million of the EBITDA this year versus 1,700 million last year, mainly due to the Mexican capital gain. This is what makes the fact that in reported terms, the EBITDA is below last year, but not in recurrent terms. So these are the two main impacts at the EBITDA level. And at the net profit, so below the EBITDA level, mainly in the EBIT, in the depreciation, amortization, and in the provision side. This year, we have provisioned 460 million, mainly to some adjustments in the value of our pipeline, mainly in renewables across different geographies, okay? Compared to last year, which the adjustment was basically due in the onshore in the U.S., as you recall. This year, it's been basically across different geographies. And last year, also in the provision line, we adjusted around 1,500 million in the provision line in 2024 to compensate these capital gains that we had in the EBITDA level. So we stripped this provision from the EBIT side. So to conclude, last year, we stripped 379 million at the EBITDA. This year, 379 million at the EBITDA level, 2024, 1,700 million at the EBITDA level. And this year, we have taken away around 460 million at the EBIT level. And we have also taken away last year, also through efficiencies and adjustments, another 1,500 million. And in addition to that, we have two other elements, which is basically the fact that this year we have included the cap allowance, which compensates what we are taking away, which is the New York recognition of the past costs, okay? So that is basically the main adjustments in our numbers.
Next question is related to the recent regulatory development in both Spain and the U.K. and how this compares with the assumption included in our strategic plan.
So I think, as I have mentioned, in the case of Spain, we have to manage our business according to the signal that has been given. So signals is that they are already just reducing the money in operation and maintenance. So we have to adapt our operation and maintenance to the new circumstances. They are already just limited the CapEx. They are giving some guidelines where to invest and how much to invest. So we have to adapt to the circumstances. But I think I would like to say that in the case of Spain, it's less than 20% of our RAB. So I think we will adapt to the circumstances in such a way that we will not be affecting our P&L, adapting our expenses, adapting our CapEx to the framework has been defined. But I think our networks business is depending much more on other countries. I think in the case of the U.K., as I mentioned, only the growth that we are expecting in transmission is absolutely huge. Only in transmission, the regulator has already recognized the need of accelerating our transmission lines, multiplying by four times the CapEx toward the previous 5 years with a clear, stable, predictable, and attractive framework. So I think RIIO-T3 is clearly a transformational things for Scottish Power. So the RAB of transmission in 2030 will be equal, even highly higher than the RAB of distribution. So together, we are going to reach more than 30 billion RAB, compared with 9 billion we have in Spain. So I think just to give you the image where that represent. And as well, the return on equity, is return on equity including incentive, higher than 9%. Similar situation we are facing in other countries, like United States, which as well, there are pressure for increasing the investment. And the situation in Brazil, which as you saw, is already just renewing the license for the next 30 years with a commitment of investing a huge amount of money in the country for electrifying the sectors which are still in the country are not electrified. So I think those are the main things. So I think our business, transmission and distribution business, is a growth vector, which is transmission, either in UK, either United States, which I think in the case of Britain is going to transform completely the size of the company from a company 15 billion RAB to 30 billion RAB. And in the case of United States, similar thing as well as Brazil. In Spain, so the situation, we have to follow the signals of regulator, but in any case, the size of our business in Spain is less than 20% of our total, so which I think is not important what it represented for that one. But we will adapt completely our deliveries, what has been already been given. The signals given is clear. Less investment in operation and maintenance, CAPEX already addressed to certain areas and not to another areas. I think we have to follow this instruction. That's it.
Next question is regarding the regulatory framework and negotiation in New York, both and Maine, and how this aligns with the assumption included in our strategic plan.
Pedro, would you reply?
Okay, I think we are always adjusting, Chairman, you know, on these rate cases to the circumstances. Last year, we focused on recovering storm costs in New York, 100 million, and more than 300 million of storm costs as well in Maine. That was the focus. I think this year, because of circumstances, we believe it's the right thing to do interim rates and one-year rate case in Maine. The interim rates will be applied in July, and then we will request, you know, for a one-year rate case. After that, we'll go into a multi-year rate case. And in the case of New York, we still have the current, you know, rate plan, which will be, you know, in the mid of the year, and we're already working in a one-year rate case. And after that, you know, we will file also a multi-year rate case.
Next is, could you provide an update on the status of Vineyard Wind 1 project and its recent progress?
So I think it's, I would like to summarize in two words. For me, as engineer, the farm is already completed. In this moment, we have more than 60 turbines of the 62 which are fully installed. I think there are more than 55, I think, in operation exporting electricity. So I think these numbers means the level of availability is similar for other offshore wind farm we have in operation. So for me, that is complete. Nevertheless, Pedro, you would like to add any detail, but for me, it's the sentence that is fully completed. That's it.
Yeah, I think you know, you're totally right, Chairman. I think we have 60 of 62, you know, rotors installed. That's 97%. You know, probably in the next days, we will install the two remaining ones. And I think from an operation point of view, you know, 52 of the 62, that's almost 85% of them, are right now allowed for operation.
Next is, how is your customer base evolving in Spain, particularly in terms of channel level, customer retention, and portfolio quality?
Pedro?
Okay, I think it's important to know that we are the market leader. We are the leader in energy supply, we are the leader in number of customers, and also the leader in churn rate. So it's normal that we have some rotation in those customers. I think, you know, we continue to be successfully measuring, you know, taking actions, you know, to retain our best customers. And right now, you know, we feel even that margin, you know, per customer is, you know, right now growing from an energy point of view.
So I would like to insist in one word. I think we are the leader in number of customers, but The level of loyalty of our customer is huge. We have the record, we are the best in churn rates in the country as well. So I think it's normal. When you are already the largest number of customers, then you lose someone else. But important is the level of loyalty of the existing one. So the percentage of rotation, as a rotation in our case, is much lower than the rest, especially those newcomers. The newcomers is the rate case, the churn rates are absolutely huge. So, which I think as well is normal in other countries. When you go as a country initially, I think the number of you win customers, but you lose customers. But the important thing is the loyalty of a customer is huge. I think that would like to mention this message. Thank you.
Next, could you provide an update on your view regarding the role of nuclear generation in Spain and the status of the Almaraz extension process?
So I don't know how many times I've repeated as engineer what is my vision. So the nuclear power plant are necessary, are safe, are efficient, and contributed to lower prices in all countries. So I think that is a reality. In the case of Spain, we suffer a huge taxation, which I think reached almost 30 or 35 euros per megawatt hour, which is four times more than other neighbor countries. But the power plant itself, I insist, are necessary, safe, and efficient, and they are already generating lower prices. I think today, some of the nuclear power plant are being called to operate under restriction because they are cheaper than gas plant. So I think that is the reality we are facing today. In fact, today, European countries with no nuclear have structurally higher prices. Italy and Germany around 20 more euros than France or Spain. So I think that is the big debate in Europe. So those countries what we have already keeping our nuclear power plant, and we have already invested in another renewable technologies, we have lower prices than those we have not already, either not built or either has already closed the nuclear power plant, and they're fully dependent on the import of fossil fuels, which I think that makes that the cost is automatically higher. So that's why, for this reason, we have already asked the extension of Almaraz, and we will ask the extension of others in the future, I imagine. And I think this process is ongoing. So I think it's Nuclear Security Council is analyzing. So, but I think I've not seen that we are already delivered all the papers requested. And I think the fact is to this power plant, most power plants similar to that one are already extension life up to 60, even 80 years, which I think will have not much sense. Then here will not already use this asset, which I insist are necessary, safe, efficient, and contribute to lower prices.
Next is related to the status of the Neoenergia minorities acquisition deal.
Sobre
Neoenergia, the process of the...
Well, I think that the processes are going on. I think it's a question of weeks. So I think we have not any... all they are progressing well, step by step. And I think I feel Pepe in April will be closed later.
Yes.
So I think it's going according with schedule.
Next is how will required U.S. network investment affect customer affordability? And are European regulators becoming more focused on this issue as well, especially Italy, with the new measure adopted?
So, as I mentioned in my presentation, today we have a significant latent demand unattended due to lack of infrastructure. So I think that is a fact in all countries. The fact European Commission has already made a directive recommending higher investment in networks, in infrastructures. So, and I think this lack of infrastructures of transmission and distribution is causing losses in curtailments, and that is generating extra cost to many countries. So that's why higher investment in network will allow to solve those curtailments. I think in the case of UK, if I don't remember about the curtailments, amount something like £5 billion per annum. just because there are certain electricity in some part of the country cannot be exported to another part of the country, and this part of the country have to use more expensive sources of energy toward another one are already not being able to be exported. So this more investment solve this problem of curtailments. That that can incorporate an additional demand which now is latent, we cannot be supplied, and they will dilute it. This extra demand will dilute the cost and the impact of this infrastructure cost, resulting at the end lower cost per kilowatt hour. So that is a virtuous circle. If we are not making the infrastructure, we have to pay higher cost of electricity. That if we have this infrastructure, we can benefit, we can enjoy a lower cost of electricity, and we will consume more electricity, we will dilute it, the cost of this extra infrastructure. So the British regulator has understood very well, and that's why they are already introducing incentives for accelerating the construction of new infrastructures, precisely for diminishing these curtailments that the British are paying at present. And in generation, I think my position in your chart also clearly, each country has to look for how to use their own indigenous electricity, energy, to become more autonomous, more autonomy in their energy, to avoid problems that we've been experiencing in the past to the import of certain energies from other countries. I think we've been suffering the problems of shortage of gas 2 years ago because the lack of supply from Russia. So but in any case, this cost of gas imported with liquefy always will be more, will be less competitive than those we have the gas door to door to the power plant. So that's why each country have to look what is the alternative. In the case of Europe, the European Commission is clearly defining what they would like. They would like more autonomous energy based in renewables, onshore, offshore solar, more nuclear, extension of the existing one or potentially new one, which is the case of France. France just published their policy where they are relying in more nuclear and more offshore. And I think Britain is already saying thing as well. And that is the point. Is the point is networks for supplying the demand which today cannot be supplied. These networks can already diminish the cost per kilowatt hour because they will dilute it. With more demand diluted, the cost of the new infrastructures. And the power will be dependent on the countries and the, dependent on the source in each country. If the countries has one type of the sources of energy, that the energy will have to be used with the basis of competitiveness, sustainability, and self-sufficiency in the country.
Next is, could you update on your U.S. renewable pipeline? Is repowering still an opportunity in the U.S.?
It is, but Pedro, you can already explain with more detail.
I think in the U.S. we have, 11,000 megawatts in operation, and, we're right now building around, in construction, 600 megawatts, out of which 455 are repowering. I think because of the customer demand, to continue to increase, we are also, looking into extension of life, between 15 and 20 years, with very moderate investments and, attractive business cases. I think on top of this, we have more than 4,000 megawatts of pipeline. We don't have any new projects in the projections we gave in the Capital Markets Day because we prefer to actually do things and there will be an upside every time we decide to do new projects.
Next is something related to the previous question, but could you provide your view on the recent regulatory intervention in the Italy power market, and do you foresee similar measures in Spain?
So, so Italy, as I mentioned before, I was explaining clearly, they have higher prices than other European countries due to their past energy policy decisions. That they already make, they increase their dependence of gas imports. I think that is clear. Same thing, Germany is facing higher prices in Europe there due of decision, political decision taken in the past of that one. I think this case is very different for other countries that we have renewable and nuclear driving a structural lower cost. That is the case of France, that is the case of Spain. I think in line with the conclusion reached in the European Commission 3 years ago and related to the market design, we continue thinking the long-term contracting, mainly in PPAs, are the solution to avoid volatile and high power prices for European consumers. So I think the fact those countries we have already more long-term contract are those countries are part of the mix of power generation, are those countries that are already more stable and predictable prices. So I think Europe needs to become more and more energy independent. So we cannot rely on sources which are not already in our hands. So that's why any market intervention will not help to attract the necessary investment to attend this growing electricity demand. So we have to be very careful with all these measures. We have to be very careful with the taxation. We have to be very careful with the fact that taxation, European Commission is recommending as well reduction, a substantial reduction in taxes to electricity for increasing competitiveness, because that is the best way to increase the competitiveness of European. If we compare the taxes of Europe with the Americans or with the Chinese, in some cases it's 5 times more, the European toward the Americans or the Chinese. So I think it's not a question of looking for more reforms, it's a question of looking where is the problem. The problem in Europe is taxation. And energy policies has not been in some countries making the right direction. If we are keeping already the nuclear power plant, and we increase our investment in our already in autonomous energies, which in the case of Europe, certain is a renewable, offshore solar, hydro, and we make more storage, so certain we can be already as competitive as others. And that is what they're making countries like China, which are investing heavily already in autonomous energies, mainly renewable hydroelectric, and nuclear as well, for keeping already a much competitive mix of power generation.
Next is, could you update on your activity with data center clients, particularly regarding PPAs and expected demand growth?
So I think as PPAs with technology companies are not new for us. I think we have PPAs with the largest users of data centers. We have already in this moment more than 150 gigawatt hour of new PPAs signed. And only in last year we signed one terawatt hour more. And we have already 12 terawatt hours per annum, already the supply energy supply to these companies. I think I insist on that one many times. I think there are people who has been dreaming to become data centers builders. We are already data center facilitators, so we try to facilitate the installation of data centers, because data center is a large consumer of electricity and our business is to sell electricity. That's why we are doing our best for helping those who would like to install new data centers through providing land or providing connection or providing these PPAs, whatever. So I think it's data centers not only is question of power, it's question as well of connection. It's question of networks. More networks are needed, as much power is needed. But I think if I have to say prioritize, networks is the first bottleneck in this moment, more than power itself, in some of the countries we'll be present at, actually.
Last question is related to the guidance given to the 2028. And is, please, can you elaborate why 2028 guidance has moved from around 7.6 billion to higher than 7.6 billion?
So I think is we have increased our net profit 1 billion euros in the last 2 years. And we expect to at least to increase another one more billion in the next 2 years. Investment and asset rotation is ahead of schedule. So I think the RAB is up by 3%. We have more than 7,000 new megawatt in construction of in operation in this moment. We have 9,000 megawatt in pipeline ready for 2028. We are seeing the acceleration of electrification. I was insisting and insisting again and again with new investment opportunities in transmission and distribution. Clearly, that is a clear example in T3 in UK, where you have for the incentive for acceleration. We have increased our return on equity by 100 basis points if we go ahead of schedule. So I think it's incentive for being faster. On top of this, we have already better expectation for 2030 and beyond with new opportunities in transmission in countries like Australia. So I think all in all, we are keeping our plan and delivering, focus in networks, being selective in renewables and in power. As Pedro mentioned, in the United States, there are opportunities that we are making, but we can make more as there are demand. There are other countries where we are the possibilities in making more things. But we don't like to make dreams. As you remember, we put name by name, power plan by power plan, how which one we are going to build year per annum per annum. So it's not saying we are going to make 9,000. No, we are going to make this 9,000 in this country, in this period, in this thing. So we have already, in the case of the United States, as Pedro mentioned, we have for repowering, we are 11,000 megawatts already in operation, with more than half can be repowered. But we will, but in the moment we have one by one, which one we are going to be repowered, we will let you know. But I think we are working with that one, case by case, because the time is it moves faster. Nevertheless, I think we have already our financial strength. You know, we are committed with it. We took all the necessary steps for keeping already our financial solidity. And I think it's, and that's why we feel we have a unique value proposition in the sector. So I mentioned in my speech something that we are from Bilbao. So I think it's, although the people from Bilbao, we have the reputation of being a little exaggerated sometimes, in our case, after 125 of history and 25 years of myself leading the group, we have already taken, I feel, the best of the country bus. The ambition to achieve better and higher results, and the pride, of the, also typical from Bilbao, of over-delivering. And that is our track record. Our track record is an ambitious plan and over-delivering the result. This is a result of the plan 22-25, what you just finished, which our plan, and that is going to be, again, our plan for 2028. Compared with others, we has not proven this ambition, it has not proven this delivery.
Well, after this Bilbao answer, I will now hand the floor over to Mr. Galán again to close this event.
So thank you very much to all of you for participating in this conference call. And I think if there are any questions, our investor relation, we will be available for any additional information you may require. Thank you, and thank you very much. See you soon. Thank you.